ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग दिस मॉर्निंग फ्रॉम द फिफ्थ कैंटो ऑफ द श्रीमद् भागवतम चैप्टर 23 एंटाइटल्ड द शिशुमार प्लैनेटरी सिस्टम टेक्स्ट नंबर 3। यथा मेधिस्तंभ आक्रमण पशवः संयोजितास्त्रिभिस्त्रिभिः सवनैर्यथा स्थानं मण्डलानि चरन्ति एवं भगनाग्रहादय एतस्मिन् अन्तर्बहिर्योगेन कालचक्र आयोजित ध्रुवम् एवावलम्ब्य वायोनोदीर्यमाना आकल्पान्तं परिचन क्रमन्ति नभसि यथा मेघाः शेनादयो वायुवशाः कर्मसारथयः परिवर्तन्ते एवं ज्योतिर्गणाः प्रकृतिपुरुषसंयोगानुगृहीताः कर्म निर्मित गतयो भुवि न पतन्ति। ट्रांसलेशन परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन। व्हेन बुल्स आर योक टुगेदर एंड टाइड टू अ सेंट्रल पोस्ट टू थ्रेश राइस दे ट्रेड अराउंड दैट पिवॉट विदाउट डिविएटिंग फ्रॉम देयर प्रॉपर पोजिशंस। वन बुल बीइंग क्लोजेस्ट टू द पोस्ट अनदर इन द मिडल एंड थर्ड ऑन द आउटसाइड। Similarly, all the planets and all the hundreds and thousands of stars revolve around the pole star, the planet of Maharaj Dhruva, in their respective orbits, some higher and some lower. Fastened by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to the machine of material nature, according to the results of their fruitive acts, they are driven around the pole star by the wind and will continue to be so until the end of creation. These planets float in the air within the vast sky, just as clouds with hundreds of tons of water float in the air, or as the great Shena eagles, due to the result of past activities, fly high in the sky and have no chance of falling to the ground. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. According to the description of this verse, the hundreds and thousands of stars and the great planets such as the Sun, the Moon, Venus, Mercury, Mars and Jupiter are not clustered together because of the law of gravity or any similar idea of the modern scientists. These planets and stars are all servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Govinda or Krishna, and according to his order they sit in their chariots and travel in their respective orbits. The orbits in which they move are compared to machines given by material nature to the operating deities of the stars and planets who carry out the orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by revolving around Dhruva Loka, which is occupied by the great devotee Maharaj Dhruva. This is confirmed in the Brahma Samhita as follows. Yachakshuresha savita sakalagrahanam raja samasta suramurtir ashesha tejah yasya gaya bhramati sambhrita kala chakro Govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, under whose control even the sun, which is considered to be the eye of the Lord, rotates within the fixed orbit of eternal time. The sun is the king of all planetary systems and has unlimited potency in heat and light. This verse from Brahma Samhita confirms that even the largest and most powerful planet, the sun, rotates within a fixed orbit or Kala Chakra in obedience to the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This has nothing to do with gravity or any other imaginary laws created by the material scientists. Material scientists want to avoid the ruling government of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore they imagine different conditions under which they suppose the planets move. The only condition, however, is the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All the various predominating deities of the planets are persons, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is also a person. The Supreme Personality orders the subordinate persons, the demigods of various names, to carry out His supreme will. This fact is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, wherein Krishna says, Mayadhyakshena prakritihi suyate sacharacharam hetu nanena kaunteya jagat viparivartate. This material nature is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, and it is producing all moving and unmoving beings. By its rule, This manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. The orbits of the planets resemble the bodies in which all living entities are seated, because they are both machines controlled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As Krishna says in the Gita, Ishvara sarva bhutanam hriddeshe arjuna tishthati brahmayan sarva bhutani yantrarudhani mayaya. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on a machine made of the material energy. The machine given by material nature, whether the machine of the body or the machine of the orbit or Kala Chakra, works according to the orders given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Personality of Godhead and material nature work together to maintain this great universe, and not only this universe, but also the millions of other universes beyond this one. The question of how the planets and stars are floating is also answered in this verse. It is not because of the laws of gravity. Rather, the planets and stars are enabled to float by manipulations of the air. It is due to such manipulations that big heavy clouds float and big eagles fly in the sky. Modern airplanes like the 747 jet aircraft also works in a similar way. By controlling the air, they float high in the sky, resisting the tendency to fall to the earth. Such adjustments of the air are all made possible by the cooperation of Purusha, male, and Prakriti, female. By the cooperation of material nature, which is considered to be Prakriti, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is considered to be the Purusha, all the affairs of the universe are going on nicely in their proper order. Prakriti, material nature, is also described in the Brahma Samhita as follows. Srishti sthiti pralaya sadhana shakti reka chaye vayasya bhuvanani vibharti durga ichchanurupam api yasya cha cheshtate sa govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. The external potency Maya, who is of the nature of the shadow of the chit potency, is worshipped by all people as Durga, the creating, preserving and destroying agency of this mundane world. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, in accordance with whose will Durga conducts herself. Material nature, the external energy of the Supreme Lord, is also known as Durga, the female energy that protects the great fort of this universe. The word Durga also means fort. This universe is just like a great fort in which all the conditioned souls are kept, and they cannot leave it unless they are liberated by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord Himself declares this in the Gita. Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tattvatah tyaktva deham punar janma naiti mameti sorjuna. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving this body, take his birth again in the material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. Thus, simply by Krishna consciousness, by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can be liberated, or in other words, one can be released from the great fort of the universe and go outside to the spiritual world. It is also significant that the predominating deities of even the greatest planets have been offered their exalted posts because of the very valuable pious activities they have performed in their previous births. This is indicated herein by the word karma nirmita gatayaha. For example, as we have previously discussed, the moon is called Jiva, which means that he is a living entity like us. But because of his pious activities, he has been appointed to his post as the moon god. Similarly, all the demigods are living entities who have been appointed in their various posts as the masters of the moon, the earth, Venus, and so on because of their great service and pious acts. Only the predominating deity of the sun, Surya Narayan, is an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Maharaj Dhruva, the predominating deity of Dhruva Loka, is also a living entity. Thus, there are two kinds of entities. The supreme entity, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the ordinary living entity, the Jiva, Nityo Nityanam, Chetanas, Chetananam. All the demigods are engaged in the service of the Lord, and only by such an arrangement are the affairs of the universe going on. Regarding the great eagles mentioned in this verse, it is understood that there are eagles so big that they can prey on big elephants. They fly so high that they can travel from one planet to another. They start flying in one planet and land in another. And while in flight, they lay eggs that hatch into other birds while falling through the air. In Sanskrit, such eagles are called Shena. Under the present circumstances, of course, we cannot see such huge birds. But at least we know of eagles that can capture monkeys and then throw them down to kill and eat them. Similarly, it is understood that there are gigantic birds that can carry off elephants, kill them and eat them. The two examples of the eagle and the cloud are sufficient to prove that flying and floating can be made possible through adjustments of air. The planets in a similar way are floating because material nature adjusts the air according to the orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It could be said that these adjustments constitute the law of gravity. But in any case, one must accept that these laws are made by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The so-called scientists have no control over them. The scientists can falsely, improperly declare that there is no God. But this is not a fact. Oof. Quite an interesting and a long purport. Srila Prabhupada, in this very special purport, is challenging the laws of modern science. According to the laws of modern science, whether it's the Venus, the Jupiter, the Mars, or any planets in the planetary system, all of these planets are floating in space, revolving in their orbits because of the law of gravity. The planets stay in their place and are maintained in the place because of the law of gravity, as Srila Prabhupada is mentioning in the purport. But based upon this verse from this chapter, Srila Prabhupada is thrashing this idea by saying that it's not a question of law of gravity. Prabhupada gives these two examples from this one verse. First is the example of the cloud. The clouds which have gallons and gallons of water are floating in space, Prabhupada says, not because of the law of gravity. The example of the cloud is mentioned in this verse. The clouds are floating in space because of the air. Prabhupada also quotes from this verse the example of the eagle, the huge eagles which can prey on elephants. These eagles also fly in sky not because of the law of gravity but because they can manipulate air. And then Prabhupada adds his modern flavor. The example of the cloud, the example of the eagles. Prabhupada gives the example of the Jet 747 plane. Prabhupada says that the 747 can be floating in air not because of the law of gravity but because there is some system to manipulate air. Prabhupada says it is all an arrangement of the Purusha and the Prakriti, the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the material nature. The material nature manipulates the air in the universe, and because of the manipulation of the air which is done by material nature, the planets are where they are. So if one says that the law of gravity is responsible for the planets floating, sorry. The planets are floating in space because material nature manipulates air. And who manipulates material nature? Yasya agyaya bhramati sambhrita kala chakro. Yasya agyaya. By the orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, material nature works. Therefore, what a classic statement. That the entire material universe and all the complex affairs therein are run by the combination of the Purusha and the Prakriti. Scientists may try to scratch their heads and try to rack out their brains to be able to understand why the planets float in space. Here is a verse in the Bhagavatam. And here is Srila Prabhupada explaining to us, the Supreme Lord Krishna orders material nature. Material nature manipulates the air and thereby all the planets are floating in space. Wow, someone would say, what a cuddly sweet fairy tale. What a beautiful anecdote you narrated, Prabhuji. That all the planets are floating in space because material nature manipulates the air, and because material nature is being manipulated by the Supreme Lord Krishna, sounds very, 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 very far out. How are we going to believe that? How are we going to agree to the fact that Krishna is ordering material nature, and thereby material nature is manipulating the air, and thereby all the planets are floating in space? Gone to the drains are all the concepts and all the ideologies and all the teachings that have been taught to us by modern science all through our days in school, all through our days in university. What happened to all of that? Suddenly here I'm sitting in a Hare Krishna temple and some monk, some bald fellow tells me that everything is floating in space because of the manipulations of air done by the material energy and Krishna, the Supreme Purusha. How are we going to deal with this information? How are we going to accept the super fantastic explanations? Last week I gave a class on a similar theme, and I'm going to continue on that a little bit, right, and discuss how we are going to deal with this. Planets floating in the sky because of the energy of Krishna, because of material energy. How are we going to perceive this with our material senses? How are we going to perceive this with our limited material minds? Is it possible to perceive it at all? One may think, all right, let me now accept it for what it is, accept it on its face value. I'll go through the tapasya, they say. I'll go through the chanting of the 16 rounds, they say. I'll go through the four regulative principles, they say. Maybe one day in the future, I will actually be able to perceive and see that it's all happening the way it's mentioned here. Will it be possible? Will after 20 years of chanting Hare Krishna, 25 years of following the orders of the spiritual master, will we actually be able to see Krishna as the Purusha telling material energy, okay, now there, the Venus, the air is a little less, come on, send in a little more air, it needs to be in place. Are we going to be able to perceive that stuff there? That's the first question at hand. A beautiful analogy will put everything in place. Just like if we see the spider, after all the five senses of hearing, seeing, touching, smelling and feeling, seeing, hearing, smelling and tasting is minimal for a spider. The spider functions only based on the sense of touch. As soon as in the spider web, there is some object which comes and gets caught, hardly can the spider see, smell, taste or hear. But based on the sense of touch, which comes through the spider web, the object may be far off from where the spider is, but based on the sense of touch, the spider can figure out how far is the object and how big is the object. Doesn't have to see, doesn't have to hear, doesn't have to smell, doesn't have to taste, because it's very weak for the spider. The sense of touch is very strong. Immediately the spider can figure out, well, yes, from at this distance is the object and this big is the object. Right? That's all right. Just in the kitchen where the spider web is, where all this is going on, there is first class butter halwa that is being cooked. Poor spider. All it can do is perceive things based on touch. The butter halwa doesn't make any sense to the spider. Because for the spider, everything exists within the web. Anything beyond the web, butter halwa, how does it make any sense? But here we are in the temple hall listening to the Bhagavatam class, and suddenly our Sachi Suno Prabhu in the kitchen is cooking butter halwa, and the fragrance comes all the way up into the temple. And I know for sure no one's going to be bothered about such a technical class as this. Everyone's waiting for when it is going to be breakfast or lunchtime. Butter halwa, it makes so much sense to us. For the spider, it doesn't make any damn sense. Right? And then here, we are giving a Srimad Bhagavatam class. All of us here are hearing and trying to make some sense out of what is being spoken. And there's a cobweb up here and there's a spider dealing with an object caught in the cobweb. Can the spider make any sense of the Bhagavatam class that I'm speaking here? Absolutely not. Right. What to speak of seeing the deities? All of us are seeing Radha Gopinath, observing the beauty of Radha Gopinath. For the spider in the cobweb, this is an ephemeral world. This is a world beyond its limited access in the cobweb. Right. So yes, a spider can only based on the sense of touch know what's going on in the cobweb, nothing beyond. Right. Even within the cobweb, even within the web, the spider can only deal with the object based on sense of touch. This is how far it is and this is how big it is. What is the color of that object? The spider doesn't know. You look at it and say, wow, look what's there. There is a honeybee which is brown in color stuck in the cobweb. The spider doesn't understand any of that stuff. What color it is of? How does it smell? The spider doesn't understand. Right. A beautiful example, a beautiful analogy to reveal to us our limited faculties in this world. We are like that spider, and this material world is like the cobweb. Out of all the faculties that we have hardly any faculties at our disposal which are strong. For the spider, it is the sense of touch. For us, probably it may be all five. Right. But just like the spider can only know things within the cobweb, similarly, all we could know is only things that are happening on the planet Earth. We cannot know anything beyond the planet Earth. The spider cannot know what's going on in the temple hall, in the kitchen. Similarly, we, like the spider, cannot know what's going on beyond the planet Earth. Therefore, when we hear of Krishna ordering the material energy to keep the planets in space, therefore, when we hear of eagles flying and eating elephants, we say, come on, how can we believe that? But the spider sitting in the cobweb is also thinking, this person is coming to give me a discourse on what halwa smells like. What is he talking about? This person is going to tell me about the deities. What do they look like? What is he talking about? I can't smell. I can't see. Similarly, when we are told of eagles that can eat elephants, we say, come on, what are you talking of? When we are told of planets floating in the space because of the manipulations of air, we say, come on, what are you talking of? Because we are like those spiders with such limited access. We can't conceive of things beyond, neither the spiritual world nor the material world beyond the planet Earth. And even within the cobweb, how much is the knowledge of the spider? Okay, only that much as can be perceived by the sense of touch. Color, smell, taste, sound, no knowledge of it. Even within it. Similarly, even on the planet Earth, how much is our knowledge of the things we know? Only limited to the sense perceptions that we have. There is a lot more to each object, but we don't know. Example is given of a dog whistle. We get a dog whistle in our hand like a cobweb. The spider says, oh, look, there's an object. I can feel it. This is the distance. This big it is. Similarly, when we get a dog whistle in our hand, say, oh, it looks like a something. You can feel it. Correct? But what is our knowledge of the dog whistle? Take it and blow it, pat it, do anything. The sound that comes when you blow the dog whistle. But we can't hear it. The dog can hear the dog whistle. Right? As soon as you play the dog whistle, no human being can hear it. But all dogs will suddenly start barking and coming together. So even within the cobweb, even on the planet Earth, we say we know. But how much do we know? The spider in the cobweb is thinking, I know. But how much does the spider know? This is the distance of the object and this is the size of the object. Beyond that, color, smell, taste, sound, nothing is known. Similarly, we say, here's a dog whistle and I know. What do I know? I know this is the dimension of the dog whistle. I know this color is it. I know this shape it is. Beyond that, I do not know. Because when the dog whistle is sounded, there is sound that comes. I can't perceive it in as much as a spider cannot conceive the object beyond the sense of hearing. I guess it's clear enough when we talk of understanding the eagles that can prey on elephants, and the Mars and the Jupiter and the Venus and the Shishumar and the subterranean heavenly planets, all of that stuff. When we start understanding that, our understanding of all of that is like the understanding of the spider in the cobweb. Cannot understand anything beyond. And even within the cobweb, the understanding is very, very limited. The first question is answered. Can I really understand it? Can I really come to know one day? This is how the Supreme Purusha tells the Prakriti, okay, the Venus is lacking air now, supply some air so that it can float in space. No, not from this cobweb, not from the planet Earth. Is there any possibility of understanding that knowledge? Is there any possibility of understanding Goloka Vrindavan, Vaikuntha? Are we going too far out now? Yes, we are. Forget about Goloka Vrindavan and Vaikuntha. Is there any possibility of understanding Brahmaloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, Satyaloka? Forget about it. It's too far out still. Can we understand properly what is in this planet Bhumandal? Forget about that. Let's talk about the planet Earth. Can we really one day understand the planets in the planetary system which is around the planet Earth? That's the question at hand then. If we cannot understand with our material senses, with our limited mind, is there any possibility of understanding it? Yes, there is. Yes, there is a possibility of understanding all the things that we are speaking of. In the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Krishna is instructing Uddhava. And while instructing Uddhava, Lord Krishna is explaining to him what is the possibility of understanding this knowledge. Mayopa upabrimhitam bhumna brahmana ananta shaktina bhuteshu ghosha rupena vishesha urneva lakshate. If we want to understand all of the information that we are hearing now, the only possibility is when we hear it from the person who made it, Krishna. When he tells us firsthand, all right, I am the person who made it, that's how it is. That's the only way of understanding that, okay, this is how it is. How do we understand? Krishna is not in front of us. How is Krishna going to tell us now, okay, I am the one who put Venus there. I am the one who put Jupiter there. I was the one who made this whole system. So accept it, my dear son. Krishna is not there in front of us. Therefore, Lord Krishna tells Uddhava here, Bhuteshu Ghosha Rupena is a beautiful word. Ghosha Rupena means the spiritual sound vibration. Bhuteshu Ghosha Rupena, Krishna tells Uddhava, all the knowledge of the entire creation in the form of sound, I have invested it in the heart of every living entity. Sounds great. All the knowledge of all the planets, of all the planetary systems, of all the creation in the form of Ghosha Rupa. Does sound have form? Ghosha Rupena. In the form of sound has been invested in the heart of the living entity, Ghosha. And one day, that sound will become Rupa. It will take form. It will be revealed within the heart. You can actually see how it's all being manipulated. So all the knowledge given by Krishna of entire creation is there with each of us. It is in the heart of every living being right now. The Shishumar planetary systems, the eagles that eat planets, the Venus, the Jupiter, right, the Jambudvipa, all of that is there in the heart of each and every living entity. Krishna is mentioning in the 11th canto as Ghosha Rupena, as sound. Right? It's already there. Now if we take to the process of reviving that sound, reviving that Ghosha, one day when we achieve the perfection of self-realization, all of that knowledge will be revealed to us. Which means it's there, we simply have to revive it. Like Michelangelo was once asked, my dear sir, you carve such wonderful sculptures, how do you do that? Seems so lovely, so fabulous, so beautiful. Each sculpture is par excellence. How do you do it? Michelangelo replied by saying, I actually do not make any sculptures, sir. I get a big chunk of marble, a huge piece of marble, and the sculpture is already existing within. All I do is, I take the chisel and chip off the excess marble. And once the excess marble is chipped off, then what was within comes out. Bhuteshu Ghosha Rupena. This Ghosha Rupa, this Shabda Brahman, is there within the heart of every living entity, covered over by the anarthas, which are like the excess marble. By the process of Krishna consciousness, what are we doing? We are chiseling off the excess marble, and then this Ghosha Rupa is revealed. Then each of these things start making sense. They fall in place in the intelligence of the living entity. Brahmaji is a classic example of this. The Ghosha Rupa revealed by the Lord was already there within the heart of Brahma. It's not that he had to acquire it now. He simply heard this two syllables, tapa, a process. He sat down in tapasya. That process was like the chiseling process. And as soon as the chiseling was done, the Ghosha Rupa was revealed. The Ghosha Rupa manifested. The Shabda Brahma manifested. And that gave Brahma the intelligence to create the entire creation. Now that sounds also quite fascinating. It's there with us. And one day, by a certain process, then we will be able to revive it. I think most people in this world are going to take benefit of this. Saying, after all, you don't need the scriptures to study all of that. You don't require to know all of these details. Revealed knowledge is what is important. Ghosha Rupa is there. It's there in the heart. You take to a certain process and it will be revealed. All that knowledge will be revealed to you. And what process would you choose? Yato mat, tato path. You choose your own process. Whatever is your opinion, that becomes the path. So after all, the Ghosha Rupa has to be revealed. I'll choose my own path. I'm going to narrate a very, very fascinating real story now. Based on this concept, that after all the Ghosha Rupa is there, this knowledge is there, it simply has to be revived. Right. Revealed in 1954, April of 1954, in the suburbs of Chicago called the Oak Park, there was a housewife called Mrs. Dorothy Martin. Mrs. Dorothy Martin was sitting at her home and she was doing something what is called as channeling with the higher forces in the universe. Something called as automatic writing. Some forces talking to her, she jotting it down. And suddenly, she received a message from an unknown entity in space whose name was Sananda. Mrs. Dorothy Martin was fascinated. As someone from the outer worlds, someone from the space was talking to her, a personality named Sananda. Mrs. Dorothy Martin, in the year 1954, a few months later, moved from Chicago to California. Meanwhile, Mrs. Martin had started doing research in some Vedic literatures, and she came to know that there are the four Kumaras called Sanat Kumar, Sanandan, Sanat, Sanatan, and Sanatan, Sanak, Sanat, Sanandan, and Sanat Kumar. Based on the word Sanandan, she accepted, yes. One of these four celibate Kumaras, Sanandan, is talking to me, and he calls himself to be Sananda. She founded a whole society called the Society of Sanat Kumar and Sananda in California in the year 1954, based on this revelation, right, that happened to her in her hearts. That was not sufficient. What was Mrs. Dorothy Martin saying? She said, where are these Kumaras living? Where is this Sananda living? Sananda told her, revealed to her through a message, that he lives on a planet called Clarion. This planet called Clarion has fantastic temperature. Sometimes it's snowy, sometimes it's hot, but Sananda told Mrs. Martin that after all, we have bodies by which we can adjust to the temperatures of the planet Clarion. On the planet Clarion were guardians, professors, who also knew a language called the Lozolo. It was in this language, Lozolo, that these guardians communicated to the people of this world. Sananda was also one amongst his professors, one amongst his guardians. And therefore, Sananda was now communicating to Mrs. Dorothy Martin and was telling that no need to read, no need to read the books, the scriptures, the holy testaments. Everything will be revealed to you in time. Mrs. Dorothy Martin started preaching these kind of ideologies. And soon she gathered, this is a real story by the way, soon she gathered a big following. Faithfully the people came to her and she was telling them, no books, no process, all we have to do is wait for the clarion call of Sananda from the planet Clarion, and soon enough we shall know what's happening. A few months later, Mrs. Martin received another message from Sananda from the planet Clarion. Sananda told what is going to come in the future. Sananda was now telling Mrs. Dorothy Martin what was going to happen in the United States very soon. He said that previously there was a planet called the planet Car. And on the planet Car, there were two groups of living beings that lived. One group of living beings were the living beings who followed the teachings of the Christ, the God-minded beings. And the other group of living beings were led by a scientist called Lucifer. Lucifer was a really powerful scientist. Doesn't it sound like a Steven Spielberg's movie? Right. With all these special effects. But yes, that's what it is anyways. Right. He said that Lucifer made a big weapon called the Alcatope, which was far more powerful than the atomic bomb. And Lucifer exploded the Alcatope on the planet Car. When the planet exploded, all of the God-minded living beings, including Sananda and others, went to stay on the planet Clarion, from where the sound was now coming. Right? They took shelter of the planet Clarion. What happened to the others? All of the others, including Lucifer, came to the planet Earth. Right? So Sananda from planet Clarion is telling, we took shelter of Clarion after the Car planet was destroyed, and all others, including Lucifer, are in disguised forms moving on the planet Earth. And guess what's coming next? Very soon. On the 21st of December 1954, Lucifer, along with all of his men that came from the planet Car, which was destroyed, is now going to destroy the United States of America. Right. Suddenly, what's going to happen? The Chicago newspaper carried a two-column story headlined, Prophecy from Planet Clarion, Call to the City, Flee that flood. It will swamp on us on December 21st. Outer space tells suburbanite Dorothy Martin. Right. All of the followers of Dorothy were excited. Except for the followers of Dorothy under the guidelines of Sananda, everyone else was going to be completely destroyed in this swampy flood. Right. Krishna says, except for you, O Pandavas, everyone else will be destroyed by the time force. Everyone in Chicago will be destroyed. Everyone in the US will be destroyed, except for the followers of Mrs. Dorothy Martin under the guidelines of Sananda from the planet Clarion. Right. Dorothy Martin called for a meeting of all of her students who are called the Sibets. The Sibets gathered around her. Mrs. Martin said to the Sibets, sons, finally the time has come. We are now going back, not to Godhead of course, we are now going back to the Clarion planet from where we hail, where our master Sananda lives, right? And that's where we are going to live eternal life. She gave them a piece of paper, right, with a password on it. That password was going to be the passport for them to board the flying saucer, the airplane, the Vaikuntha airplane that would come from Clarion. Right? And boarding this flying saucer, all of the Sibets, the followers of Mrs. Dorothy Martin, would now go to the planet Clarion. Right? Days were coming close. It was now the 17th of December, and Mrs. Martin received a telephone call suddenly. She received a telephone call in which she was told that a Captain Video, there was a person named Captain Video. Captain Video was going to speak from outer space. At that time, there was a television serial. And in the television serial, there was a character called Captain Video. The captain video from Clarion was going to communicate through captain video of this television serial and give uncoded messages which Dorothy Martin was supposed to receive, decode it for all of her cibets. So she could now understand what's going on there. Right. Well, they were all geared up. They switched on the television. Here was Mrs. Martin sitting in her chair and all of her cibets sitting right next at her lotus feet, if you want to call it that way. And Mr. Captain Video, the serial started. Captain Video came. There were no signals, no coded language. It was as plain as it was always. Mrs. Martin consoled her followers. Never mind. Doesn't matter. We haven't learned the language of the Lozolo completely. Therefore, we are not able to decode it. Never mind. We'll wait for the next few days. A few days later, that's about 19th of December, five young boys, first four and then the next five, came knocking at the door. Everyone thought that the four Kumaras had come from the planet Clarion. Right. These were only a few college boys playing on Mrs. Martin. December 20th, Mrs. Martin received an ethereal message that, do not worry, tomorrow morning the flying saucer will come, 21st of December. And your husband will die in the night. The time was also given. And when he dies, he shall once again be resurrected and you can take him along also. That night, when the specified time for her husband to die came, all the cibets went into the room to find whether he was dead or not. He was anyways a skeptic of her wife. Right? He thought that she had gone crazy. They saw that he was still intact. Everything was fine. Mrs. Martin assured, do not believe in all of that. That could be an illusion created by whatever energy they call it. Right? It's only an illusion. Do not trust it. The final moment is coming. And suddenly, at 4:45 a.m. in the morning, Mrs. Dorothy Martin came and told all the cibets that particular prophecy which was made by Sananda has been called off by God. So nothing's going to happen now. Do not worry. What a movie plot, is it not? All the newspapers were simply mocking at the incident. But Mrs. Dorothy Martin and her assistant, Dr. Lafayette, still continued with it. They were sent to mental asylums. They were proven to be sane. Right. Mrs. Martin moved further to another place and continued her preaching of the same facts. She now assumed a new name called Sister Therada, and she still continued to preach the same teachings coming from Sananda from the planet Clarion until in the year 1992. Mrs. Martin was dead. And that was the end of the prophecies made by Sananda from the planet Clarion. Right? Look at what happens. The Ghosha Brahma, the Ghosha Rupa is there within the heart and it's supposed to be revealed to us. But if there is no proper process, if there is no proper parampara, if there is no spiritual master, look at what kind of things could come up. Right? And Srila Prabhupada explains about the Baula Sampradaya also. The Baula Sampradaya also functions on the same principle. No need to study any scriptures. No need to follow any specific process. Everything will be revealed from within. Right? Baula, Prabhupada writes, means literally he who does not understand things. Mad. Baula hoila. And Prabhupada explains the word Baula comes from the word Vatul. Vatula, which means mad. Vata. When the Vata element increases in the body too much and reaches the brain, then one becomes vatula or mad. Right. So such kind of people are baula, vatula. The vata element is so much in the head that madly they think that all the kind of ideas and so-called communication they have is ghosha rupa that is now being revived. Right. Prabhupada talks of the baulas and say that they are waiting for the calls of Radharani and Krishna and all kinds of ethereal message transmissions, dreams, right, discussions in private, sudden revelations, and everything is based on that. Meanwhile, what's happening to the Baulas? They're keeping themselves high on drugs, they're engaging in illicit sex, they're eating meat, and they're also eating the Ganga Phal. Ganga Phal is the fish, right? They're constantly feasting themselves on fish curries and still proclaiming that it is the Ghosh Rupa. Therefore, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in his Prakrita Rasa Shata Dushani, in a series of Bengali quotes, tells us what is this all about. How do we know that this is the Ghosh Rupa? Or how do we know it's some Baula thing? How do we know it's some speculation like Mrs. Dorothy Martin or like the Baula Sampradaya? Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur begins by telling us, Siddhanta Alasa Jana Anarthato Chhadena. A person lazy in understanding philosophical truth can never cross over the obstacles of his material conditionings. He begins by saying, one must understand Siddhanta. One must not simply rely on revelation. One must start understanding Siddhanta. Siddhanta alas. One must not be lazy in understanding Siddhanta. If one is lazy in understanding Siddhanta, anarthate chhadena, one cannot give up his anarthas. Sadhanena purve keha bhavankura payena. How can one feel spiritual ecstasy? How can one have things revealed to him unless he performs sadhana? Without sadhana, bhavankura cannot be manifest in the heart. Kritrima panthaye nama rasodoye hoena. Kritrima pantha. Artificial paths created by people, whether it's the Mrs. Dorothy Martin or whether it is Baula or whether any Tom, Dick and Harry. Kritrima panthaye name rasodaya hoena. By such paths, one cannot chant the holy name with rasa. Jada satta vartamane chitta kabu hoena. Jada satta vartamane. One is living in jada satta, in the material condition. In material condition, chitta kabu hoena. One cannot understand things beyond one's material senses, spiritual things. Here is another answer to a question. Can we understand it? Jada satta vartamane chitta kabu hoena. As long as one is under jada satta, anything that is beyond the faculties of the senses cannot be understood. And then he concludes, Mahajana patha chhadi navya patha dhayena. Mahajana patha chhadi, do not leave the path of the Mahajans, and navya patha dhayena, don't run after the navya patha, the new paths given by Mrs. Martin, given by the Baulas, given by the Karta Bhajas, the Nedas. Navya patha dhayena. What is the Mahajana path? The Mahajana path is that this Ghosh Rupa can only be revealed by the process of Bhakti Yoga under the guidelines of a bona fide spiritual master. Right. That is the path. No matter how hard we try to speculate, no matter how hard we try to use our mind and our intelligence to gather information of how it could function in the world, we can't work on that basis. Right. Mahajana patha chhadi navya pathe dhayena. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur is advising us, don't run after navya patha. The path is already chalked out by the Mahajans. What is the path chalked out by the Mahajans? Serve the spiritual master with great faith. And Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains, service to the spiritual master with great faith can reveal everything that is inconceivable to the human mind and intelligence. But if one gives up this path of Mahajan, which means one gives up the path of the service to the spiritual master and concocts his own ideas, Navya Patha, this information remains the same as it is in the books. Inconceivable, far out information that needs to be discarded. Therefore, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, in a beautiful verse, it is explained to us why we need to take shelter of the spiritual master. Anadi avidya yuktasya purushasya atma vedanam svatona sambhavadanyat tatvagyo gyanado bhavet. Anadi avidya yuktasya. From anadi kal, what are we? Avidya yuktasya. We are filled with ignorance. Purushasya atma vedanam. And now we are wanting to understand things of this world and things beyond this world. Swato na sambhavat. On our own, na sambhavat. It is never going to be, we are never going to be able to understand things beyond this cobweb of the earth Brahmaloka, Tapaloka, Janaloka, what to speak of that? We can never understand the spiritual world. Swato na sambhavat. How will we understand? Anyah. We need the help of others. Whose help? The help of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, who has given it in the form of Gosharupa in the heart. But what now? Therefore, the last line says, Tatvagyo gyanado bhavet. When a tatvagya, when a spiritual master gives us that knowledge, right? Gyanado bhavet, imparts to us that knowledge, what happens? Then the ghosharupa within the heart, when one hears from the spiritual master, when one serves the spiritual master, when one follows the instructions of the spiritual master, then that knowledge is revealed to us from within the heart. Right? Prabhupada writes in the purport, but the scientists do not want to accept the ruling of the Supreme Lord. Why? Because they don't want to follow what the Lord is saying. Like I always tell that famous funny joke, that a lady was trying to get her husband de-addicted of liquor. He was such a drunkard, he just would drink day and night. One day the lady got up and early in the morning, as she was going through the newspapers, she found an interesting article, a very convincing article on how to give up liquor. She thought, if my husband reads this, he has to give it up. Therefore, she turned it to that very page and put it near the bed of her husband. As soon as the husband got up in the morning, he took up the newspaper, went through the whole article and started shouting, I have given up, I have given up, I have given up. And the lady was in great ecstasy. Finally, the article worked. She came in great ecstasy and bliss, started saying, whoever has written this article, I'm going to send a demand draft of ₹1,000 as a gift to him. Because after all, his article or her article helped my husband give up liquor. And the husband said, if you want to give him ₹1,000, give me ₹1,000. For the next 10 days, my liquor will be taken care of. The wife said, but didn't you just say, I have given up, I have given up, I have given up? He said, yes, I have given up reading newspapers. Why? Because newspapers sometimes have articles which tell me why to give up drinking liquor. Right. So why do people want to give up the ruling of the Lord? Why do people not want to hear what the Lord has said in the scriptures? They say, yes, we have given up, not sense gratification. We have given up reading scriptures. Why? Because in the scriptures, the Lord tells us, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, do this, do this, do this. So Prabhupada says here, the scientists do not want to accept the ruling of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because as soon as they do that, there is a whole lot of things that come along that I need to do this. I need to stop this. What a fantastic concept is this. That by service to the spiritual master, everything can be revealed to us. Even demons accept this fact. What to speak of devotees. Even demons, in order to get the knowledge, rely on service to Guru. In the 6th canto of the Bhagavatam, Indra offends his Guru Brihaspati and loses against the demons. Why? Because meanwhile the demons worship Shukracharya, and by worship to Shukracharya they become powerful. Right. So whether it is demon or devotee, the principle of getting power, the principle of getting knowledge is based always on service to a superior spiritual master. Hiranyakashipu is the scientist from the bygone ages. Many of the scientists of the modern ages also, after hearing so much, may accept a little bit. Makes a little sense what they are saying. But their false ego is so strong, even if the divine personality from within, there is the divine and the demoniac both within, even if the divine speaks a little bit, yes, seems that I am controlled, the demoniac takes over and says, shut up. Come on, you are a scientist. How can you believe that? The same thing happened with Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu tried to kill Prahlad. Hiranyakashipu tried to destroy Prahlad. But when he realized that it's not possible, the divine within said, looks like he's immortal. Looks like Lord Vishnu is helping him. But the next line of the shloka says, the demoniac personality took over and suddenly he forgot. He started thinking, oh, I'm Hiranyakashipu. I can still control it. Right. And what happens further? Already the demoniac is so strong, then there is the association of the people around. Shande Namaraka started consoling Hiranyakashipu. Never mind Hiranyakashipu. Don't worry. After all, he's a child. We are going to take him back to the Gurukul. And when Shukracharya comes back, by service to Shukracharya, Prahlad will be all right. He'll learn everything. Do not worry. Same thing happens with all of us. The demoniac personality and the divine both are there within. Because of the situation around us, sometimes the divine starts speaking. But the demoniac is so strong that the divine is subdued, suppressed. And furthermore, the association of people around, like Chanda and Amaraka, they say, no, never mind, you can make it. Don't worry. You can further your controllership. Correct? Therefore, the only hope is taking guidance and shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. So in our class today, we discussed 3 points. The first point we discussed was, is this understandable to us? Through the example of the spider and cobweb, we said, doesn't seem like. The second point we discussed was, is it possible at all? We discussed how this knowledge given by the Lord is there as Ghosharupa within the heart and can be revived. Revelation. We discussed the example of Mrs. Martin and the Baulas. Correct. And we then discussed the verses given by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. How? We have to follow in the path of the Mahajans. We can't rely on saying that Brahmaji got it revealed, so I'll also get it revealed. Correct. And the third point that we discussed was, therefore, service to a spiritual master, shelter of a spiritual master, swato na sambhavat, on our own it's never going to be possible. Anyad, tatvagyog. Right. When we take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, when he gives us that knowledge, the Ghosharupa can be revived. And to conclude with, we discussed that even demons accept this principle. That only when you worship the spiritual master will one get the power to do whatever he is doing in life. So the conclusion and the gist of this verse is, one takes shelter of a spiritual master, serves the spiritual master's instructions. Right. That knowledge which is as Ghosharupa within the heart will one day be revealed to us. And then probably the eagles flying and eating the elephants and the Shishumar and the subterranean planetary systems will start making some sense to us. Till then, the only saving grace is serving the orders of Shri Guru. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki Nitai Gaur Premanandi.